please, to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, just one verse. I'll wait till you get there. Verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. As you know, a few weeks ago, the Lord laid on my heart to preach some messages on the family and related topics. And I have about 25, 30 messages I've preached since I've been here, at least on the family or related topics to the family. And the Lord's laid on my heart to preach some of those again to you. And they will contain about all there is in the Word of God that I know on the family, and many things that I've derived in my study of books concerning a Christian family. I have a twofold desire at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. First is to see people saved, come to know Christ, receive Christ, and then built up in the faith. And then with that desire, I want to see Christian homes established where kids can grow up with a desire to serve the Lord. Now, those are my two great desires. And naturally, there's many others. Be faithful to the Word and faithful to the book. Just so many others. But those are two great desires I have. Now, Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless us as we look into this matter of raising our children for Jesus today. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of coming here today. Thank you for this good crowd of people, Lord, that fill this main auditorium and the choir here, Lord. And I want to say something that will help them today. Lord, I don't want to hurt anyone. I want to build them up in the faith. And I want to help these young marriages with children, Lord, to raise them up for Jesus and have a Christian home. And Father, bless us today now as we study this tremendous topic together. May the Holy Spirit inspire moms and dads. Lord, you've blessed them with precious children. Now, Lord, lead them to determine they're going to raise their children for Jesus. Give them that Holy Ghost determination somehow in their soul as we preach on this theme today. And then, Lord, if somebody here not right, thee not saved, Lord, may they come and get saved. Somebody with a problem, I pray today they'll receive encouragement from the Lord in the midst of those circumstances. Lord, you help them. And bless today and feed us with food that we need from above. May Jesus be glorified. May the devil be defeated. Make it easy for people to come down this aisle, Lord, to this altar, and to Jesus, and to heaven, and to holy vows this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus. Lord, bless everything that goes on these grounds, our children's churches and preschool. And just bless, we pray, this church. Now, Lord, anoint me as I preach. I can't do it without you. I confess. Without me, you can do nothing. I confess that, Lord, that without Jesus, I can do nothing. So, Jesus, help me. Blessed Spirit, anoint me in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. A few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, on Wednesday night, Gary Frey and his wife, Carolyn, spoke at a midweek service here for us, and they are graduates of Bob Jones University, and they were on deputation under Baptist Mid-Missions on the way to Brazil. And my wife and I had supper with them in Johnson City. And I asked this fine young couple about their families. And when they told us about their parents, it was clear to me that why these two young people were dedicated Christians and were headed for a lifetime of service in the Lord's work there in the land of Brazil. Gary's father showed slides here, had tremendous slide presentation concerning his work in Brazil, and Brother Graham Renee knows him well, and Gary's father's a tremendous man, doing a great work for God in Brazil, and he's a true man of God. And proof of this is that all of his children in the Lord's work are headed that way. Gary's wife, Carolyn, had parents who were farmers out in Iowa. And all three of their daughters are graduates of Bob Jones University. One is a pastor's wife in California. Another daughter is active in the, and serving the Lord in Alaska, and Carolyn, their youngest daughter, is a missionary wife now. She was on deputation then in our church. She's now in Brazil. And she told me what dedicated parents that she had. And I thought, right there is the answer. Why two young people are headed to Brazil, and now they're in Brazil serving the Lord. And when I thought of these two young people on missionary deputation and thought of the godly parental influence on their lives, the Lord just impressed upon my heart the theme that I want to preach about today on training our children for the Lord. Now, I am for good, sound, fundamental Christian schools. I am for Bible-believing fundamental churches. But folks, good schools and good churches can't do the job when the home fails. There's just no way to do it. Good Christian homes with godly parental example is the answer to raising our children to be dedicated servants of Jesus Christ. And I've studied I've read this Bible through many times in my life, and I've studied what I think to be every verse in the Bible concerning child training. I've read many books on Christian child training, and I've observed many homes where parents produce children dedicated to the Lord and the Lord's work. And I've noticed that there are some things that all of these parents have in common who have raised their children for the Lord. And I want to point out a few of my observations today. Now, I want to help you. I want to help our young marriage with children. I want to help you to raise your children for the Lord. And none of us are perfect parents. And none of us are perfect parents, but we ought to strive to be the parents that we should be. Now, I'm not a perfect parent, but I have to, with the Lord's help, try to teach you biblical principle, even though I'm not a perfect parent myself. But I've noticed these things in the homes who have raised children to serve the Lord. And number one is they have their priorities right. Carnal, worldly, half-hearted, unfaithful parents will never produce children who are dedicated to the Lord. It's just impossible. And I heard a youth director in a large church say a number of years ago that he said, we've observed that kids on fire for the Lord have dedicated spiritual parents. Now, sometimes a kid will get saved and on fire for the Lord from an unsaved home when they see the great contrast. When they see their parents are unsaved and they see the reality in Christ. But, you know, it's hard to get a kid on fire for the Lord when their parents are just half-hearted Christians. This is what this Christian leader said. They're turned off by the lives of their parents. Living for the Lord Jesus Christ must be the top priority in the life of a mom or dad, the child will not put the Lord first. You know, this thought ought to drive every parent to our knees. It ought to keep us constantly, parents, on our knees. More than likely, my child is just going to be like me. Now, about 98 or 99% of the time, that will be true. Like parent, like child. There's a law of nature, likes produce likes. So education, popularity, sports, money, clothes, cars, dating must not be the things that take priority in our homes. Christian character must be the thing that really matters in our homes. So parents, make Christian character the priority item in the lives of your children, that your children would be grow up and have Christian character and living for Jesus Christ. Make that the number one priority. We as parents must live out and out for Christ and let our children know that above all else, first of all, we want them to get born again. That ought to be the number one desire for your children. Parents, you ought to let them know this, that you want them to get born again. And the next, the greatest desire is to live for Jesus Christ. And I've noticed that this is the number one priority of every parent who raises their children to faithfully serve the Lord. So parents, we need to get that across. Above, more than we want them to get a good education, more than we want them to get out and make money, or have a lot of dates, or be popular, that we ought to want them to live for, get saved, I mean, get good and saved. Get good and born again, first, and then second, live for Jesus Christ. And that's the number one priority. If we're going to live, if we're going to reach our children for Christ and see them living for Jesus, we've got to make that a priority. And then a second thing I've observed in the homes of where children are trained to serve the Lord is they all discipline their children, but they couple it with love. You know, well, turn on your Bibles with me to Ephesians 6:4. I've used this in these messages on child raising, so I won't emphasize this too much, but I want you again to turn. This is a great verse. It ought to challenge parents, especially fathers. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, that's page 1255 in your old Schofield Reference Bible. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, and mothers too, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, if you have a Schofield Reference Bible, which you ought to have, an old Schofield at that, look at the M, nurture, look at the M over in the center column there. What do you see? What do you see there? Discipline. The Word of God says, and the Holy Ghost laid it upon the Apostle Paul to write this, bring them up in the nurture, that's the discipline, bring them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. Discipline them and tell them and teach them the Lord's way, the admonition of the Lord. We ought to bring our children up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord, but we must not provoke our children to turn against us and the Lord. So we need to be careful that we don't provoke them. We must discipline and teach them, but here's the way we keep from provoking our children. We do it with love. We do it with love. We teach them God's way. We discipline them out of a heart of love. And if our children ask us, why? How many parents have to answer that question? Why? Daddy, why? Why? We ought not just say, just because I said it, that's the reason. How many of us have said that before? Now, they ought to do it just because you said it. But, you know, we ought to have a valid reason for telling them that they ought not do something or that they ought to do something. And we ought to say, now here's the why that you shouldn't do this. And give them a good, sound reason, valid reason. And by the way, when you tell your children that they're going to do something, that you're going to do something, when you tell your children you're going to do something, you better do it. If you say, now if you do that, you're going to catch it. They better catch it if they do it. Say amen right there, somebody. I mean, if your children do something now, you say, okay, here's the punishment, and you don't punish them, you've lost your credibility with your children. I mean, if a hole opens up and swallows you, if you tell your children you're going to do something, you better do it. You better do it. You just better be careful about telling them. But if you tell them, you better deliver. That's so important, so important. Now, we should not berate and belittle our children. That's so vital. That's so vital. We ought not berate them and belittle them. We ought to build them up. We ought not say, come in here, you sorry, low-down character. Why did you do a thing like that? Now, that I hear a lot of that now. You do too. I saw a dad, and I wanted to go over and grab him. But I saw a dad, and I won't tell you where it is. He's not here this morning, so you don't have none of you have to worry about it. I saw him take his fist and knock his son down. His son was about that much smaller than him. Knock him down. And when he get him, I saw him kick him with his foot. I wanted to go over and say, Buster, won't you pick on somebody's side? That's what I sort of wanted to tell you, but I didn't want to interfere in the family there. But we must not abuse our children by excessive punishment. Now, we ought to lay it on them in the right way when they need it, but I'm talking about abusive punishment. Nor we should we abuse them psychologically by a lack of love. So you can abuse them physically and you can abuse them psychologically by not loving them and showing them concern, showing them personal concern. And you know, we can also abuse our children by just gushing love on them with no discipline, no firmness. That's psychological abuse too. Just now lovey-dovey and just sweetie-sweetie and don't have a backbone and let them live like the world, the flesh, and the devil. Never say a word to them. Just sweetie-sweetie. That old dog won't treat the possum. That's psychological abuse of your children. Just you can abuse them many ways, but that's one way you can abuse them. Let me ask you this. Dad, how long has it been since you told that son or daughter that you loved them? You know, that's so important. That we tell our children that we love them. And we need to tell them, not only tell them we love them, but then we need to prove to them that we love them. That they mean a lot to us, that they're special to us. Because folks, if you don't love your children, who else is going to love them? Who's going to love your children if you don't? But now, it cannot be love alone or discipline alone. We must fuse both together. That's the scriptural approach. It must be both and. Love and discipline. I don't have this study with me. I don't really know. I have it somewhere in my office. I couldn't find it. But I remember the details of the study at Bob Jones University concerning influence on children in the home and those homes that raise their children right, raise them for the Lord. They did a study. Someone did a study on this. And it said that the most successful way to raise children first is to be firm with love. Firmness, discipline, but do it with love. And then the second best way to raise your children is love and no discipline. Love and no discipline. That's second best. And the third was firmness with no love. That's the worst way to raise your children. But the best way is to have discipline, be firm, and with love. Then A third thing I've noticed about parents and homes that raise children for the Lord, they are faithful to the house of God. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. The psalmist said in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'll tell you, I'm glad I like to go to church. I'm glad I like to get around where people are testifying and singing the praises of God and hearing a preacher preach the truths of God's word. I'm glad that I enjoy it. I feel sorry for a church member who doesn't like to come to church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And when children grow up to be dedicated, useful Christians, I've noticed they have had parents who love the house of God and they were there every time the doors opened. Kids sort of catch on your attitude toward God's house. It's catching. It's catching. Let me ask you a question right here. If is Christ first in a person's life who does not attend church on Sunday night or Wednesday night? Now stop that. Is Christ first in anybody's life who won't come to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night? The answer has to be no. It certainly has to be no. I don't know any parents who raise their children for the Lord and put other things ahead of church attendance. Now, folks, now I'm preaching from my heart to you this morning. I want to help our people. I want to help our parents to raise children for the Lord. And I want to help you. But when you put TV or picnics or ball games or family reunions or friends or anything else ahead of God's house, you know you're telegraphing a message to your children loud and clear. And this is the message. Now, when you put all those things ahead of God's house, here's the message you're telegraphing. Those things are more important than God's house. That's right. Now, If those things keep you away from Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival services, or Sunday morning, any of these things, the message is that's more important than God's house. And that's a bad message to telegraph our children. So the only organization founded by Christ while on earth was the church. And parents, if you want your children to grow up to serve God, teach them the primacy, the priority of the local church above everything else in this world. Then another thing, and a pastor sort of hates to say this, but I would be remiss in my duties as your pastor if I didn't say it. I've noticed that parents who raise their children for the Lord support the pastor. That's so vital, so vital. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." See, I'm here as God's watchman for your souls. See, that's a very, 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 very important duty that I have, and I'm going to give an account of it. And God says, obey them that have the rule over you. Then 1 Chronicles 16:22 says, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." I've never seen parents raise their children to be dedicated, soul-winning Christians who didn't support the pastor. Now, I'm not saying Gene Lance, I'm saying pastor anywhere, anywhere. And listen, when your pastor takes a strong stand from this pulpit on dancing, ungodly movies, long hair, liberalism, new evangelicalism, compromise, immodest dress, all those other things, you ought to tell your children, the pastor is exactly right and I'm behind him 100%. That's what you ought to go home and tell your children. Now, I'm a man and I'm prone to make mistakes and wrong judgments just like you are. Just like you are. But one of the most foolish things you can do is to let your children hear you cut the pastor's throat or criticize him. You ought to say, now listen, children, we may not always agree with the pastor 100%. Now folks, you may not always agree with me, as I've told you before. I give you the right to be wrong. No, I can make wrong judgments, but you ought to say, we may not always agree with him, but we're behind the pastor in this house. That's what you ought to say, and that'll be a blessing to your children. And you're laying the axe to the spiritual roots of your children if you let them hear you criticizing the pastor. Now, I was going to say some more about it. Let me move on for sake of time. I can preach about an hour on this message this morning if I just let myself. So I'm going to get you out by supper time here today. But another thing, another observation I've made in homes who raise their children for Jesus Christ, there is love and unity in the home. Oh, this is so important. All successful businesses, ball teams, churches, clubs have one thing in common. It is unity. Unity. You show me a good ball club that maybe have a championship team this year and let them get a bunch of prima donnas on there thinking they're great and thinking only their self next year, and you start letting the morale of the team go down and let there be a rift on the team, and brother, the rinky-dinks will beat them next year. I guarantee you. You let me have a team that's playing in cohesion and unity and a good morale on that team, and they're hard to handle. And they'll beat a bunch of glory boys not working together. And you can't have everybody saddling up and riding off in 40 different directions. And this unity and harmony in the home is absolutely essential if the children grow up to serve the Lord. Now, moms and dads, when there is a difference, you'd better settle it behind closed doors. And not in front of the children. It will destroy them unless mom and dad present a united front in the home. When one parent says, yeah, go on to the dance. Yeah, go on to that movie. Yeah, go on smoke. Or yeah, date that jerk. Or, or something like that. And the other parent says, no, that's wrong. You know, that's a devastating thing to children. It's a devastating thing. And some ladies come up to me and say, I want my children to live right, but I have no help from my husband. They say, I tell my children they can't do this and they can't do that and they can't do that. And that sorry, good for nothing husband of mine says, yeah, go ahead and do this. And yes, go ahead and do that and do that. Now ladies say, preacher, what am I going to do? Well, all I can say is, ladies, when there's a division, and isn't it sad that it's usually the dad that's a weaker sister. Isn't that sad, men? Men, big, strong men, yet they're spiritual pygmies. But all I can say is, ladies, when there is this division, is just go ahead and live right. Tell the kids what you think's right and wrong, and then pray for a miracle of God's grace in their life. It's going to be an uphill battle when there's a division like that, but you that have a mate that's not with you spiritually, just hold on to God. Just hold on to God for your children. Just hold on to God. There's no hope if you just don't hold on to God. Now let me say a word to you men. Some men are so sorry spiritually, they wouldn't holler sue if the hogs eat them up. Do you know that? Men, you, as I've told you before, these messages on the home, you are God's representative in the home. And one day you're going to stand before God and He's going to hold you responsible for what goes on in the home. And so, men, let's be spiritual leaders in the home and God will bless. And men, let's take the bull by the horns and say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord around this place. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every man, that's a spiritual man that has spiritual backbone in our church would say, I'm not all I should be, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm going to take the bull by the horns with the help of God. We're going to have a Christian home on you here at this place. Men, you ought to do that. And then another thing that I've observed about homes to raise their children for Jesus, to serve the Lord, they set the right example for their children. Parents, just because you're a faithful church member and come here every time the doors open, now that's good. That's one of the things you ought to do. But you need to go a step further than that. It's not just because you're a faithful church member or if you're a Sunday school teacher or bus captain or choir member or even a preacher, and it's no sign your kids are going to turn out right. They need to see a real Christian in the home. That's so, so important. You know, If your salvation doesn't work at home, there's something wrong with it. There's a crack somewhere in the armor. I saw this in my own home. My parents had six children in two sets. I'm glad that we didn't have two sets. Say amen right there, Sister Lassie. Three older sisters, and then there were two brothers and a younger sister came along later. But my parents were saved and good people, even when the first children were born into our home. But they weren't on fire for God when those first three children came along. But when I was in my early years of grade school, under the influence of Dr. J. Harold Smith and some great preachers, some other great men of God, my parents really got right with the Lord. I like to see people really get right with the Lord, don't you? I mean, really, people just, I mean, mean business and get on fire for God. And then, brother, they wouldn't let us, after my parents really got right with God, they wouldn't let us smoke. They wouldn't let us drink. They wouldn't let us dance, go to movies, play ball or swim or go hunting on Sunday. And a lot of those other goodies, they just said, no, we're going to live for Jesus around you. That's wrong. And they became strong Bible-believing premillennial Christians, scared me to death to talk about the tribulation of the millennium and the coming of the Lord and the trumpet going to sound, that man of sin. My parents were uneducated, just sixth or seventh grade education, and they learned all about that. It's because they had a heart for it. And so, but my three older sisters made professions, but they never really lived for the Lord because they grew up while my parents weren't on fire for God. But us three younger children grew up while my parents meant business for God. And my brother and I are preachers today. And my younger sister is saved and living for the Lord in Knoxville, Tennessee. Children cannot rise above their parents most of the time. They will learn more from parental example than they will from parental teaching. It's good to teach, but there must be an example there. And children are turned off when they see mom or dad act like a saint at church and come home and act mean and selfish and unkind. They would say, if that's Christianity, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. When parents just go to church and act sanctimonious, don't go home and try to live it in the home. You know, I hate to bring this out, but I'm gonna do it here, not to promote myself, because I know how weak I am, and I'm not what I should be. But this was in our 25th anniversary brochure, a letter from my daughter they wrote to have put in this from Laurie, who's down at Bob Jones University, teaching down there, and she said, I tell all my friends and people. I tell all my friends and people I meet that my dad is the best Christian I know. He is one of the few preachers that I can fully trust because I know he lives what he preaches. Now, I'm not the best Christian she knows. I know better than that. But you know what? I'm glad she thinks that. I know she's wrong. I know she's wrong. But I'm glad my daughter believes that. And that she thought that I was trying to live for the Lord in the home. Now, I got a lot of other letters. This was back in 1988, this took place. And I got some other letters from other people, nice letters. But that letter meant more than any other letter to me. And what good, we had the congressman here that day. What good would it have a congressman saying nice things about me? And having you members saying nice things about me? And for my children not to think much about my testimony. What good would that do? Huh? What good did that do? If you people bragged on me and my children says, yeah, I know him at home. Oh, listen, that would break my heart. I want my kids to know that Daddy means business for Jesus Christ more than anything else in the world. I want that. And dads, listen. Moms, listen. You ought to want your children to believe that mom and dad means business for Jesus. You ought to want that more than anything else in this world. The Lord said of Abraham in Genesis 18:19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Dad, does the Lord know that you're commanding your children by example and precept to keep the way of the Lord? Then one other thing, and this is an observation that I've made concerning parents, families who raise their children for Jesus, and it's this. They have made a commitment to raise their children for Christ. They have made a commitment to do it. And dads and moms, you better nail her down right here. You better make a commitment that you're going to raise your children for Jesus Christ. And you who have children in your home ought to make up your mind that the most important thing in your life from this day forth, you ought to make this commitment from this day forth, the most important thing is to see your children saved. Dads, I know we need to provide for our children. We need to provide for our children. And have a good home and provide education. But make this the priority commitment, that you are going to see your children saved. I mean, see them saved. And then living for Jesus Christ. And make heaven their home someday when life shall be no more. Dads, moms, that ought to be the driving force of a mom and a dad in the home. And it's not an accident when kids go out to serve Jesus Christ. Most of the time, 98, now I know that there's exceptions to this rule, Jesus Christ had 12 disciples. One of them turned out to be the devil himself. I know there's exception to this rule, but 98 to 99% of the time, there's a mom and dad who've made it their goal, the goal of their lives. When their children serve God, there's a mom and dad that's made that a goal in their life. I want my children to serve God, whatever the cost. Behind that, you will see a parent like that. And parents, I'd settle it today. By God's grace, the devil is not going to get a one of my children. My children are going to serve the Lord. I determined that in my soul. With the help of God, the devil's not going to get a one of my children. I'd say I'm not going to raise a child of the devil. I mean a child of the devil. I'd make up my mind, I'm not going to raise a dope head. And I'm not going to raise a drunkard or a whoremonger or a worldling who doesn't care anything about the church or about God. We ought to determine, I will raise my children for the Lord and for the old time religion and for the Lord's service and for heaven. You ought to determine that. Isn't that a wonderful determination? I'd like to see every parent that has a child in the home today to determine, I'm going to raise my child for Jesus. I'm going to raise my child for heaven. I'm going to raise my child for the old-time religion, grow up believing that book, and for the Lord's service. Parents, won't you make that? I mean, if you don't, your children certainly are not going to go in that direction. You ought to determine that. Why don't you claim our text this morning, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, as I said from the beginning, I put a disclaimer on it. I'm certainly not the parent I ought to be. I'm not the parent I should be. But I have tried. I've tried to raise my children for the Lord. And if they go out and sin, I have the assurance that the Lord will bring them back. And I'm just going to leave them in His hands. That's what you need to do. And the Lord's given me assurance from some verses in the Word of God that I'm holding on to. Like Isaiah 54:13, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. I have prayed that verse and prayed that verse and prayed that verse and claimed that verse. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Parents, grab that verse and hang on to it and pray it and claim it. And Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And here's what I've claimed hundreds of times, my children. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. Oh, I think that's the greatest thing that happened to a parent is to raise a child that God would pour his spirit upon. You ought to claim that. And my blessing, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thine offspring. Parents, claim the blessing of God and the Spirit of God for your children. I mean, hold on and claim it and pray it and believe it and claim it before God. And let's try to raise our children for the Lord. And by faith, hold on to a sovereign God until Christ be formed in them. So, let's make up our mind, parents. I'm preaching from my heart to you. And I'm trying to let you see my heart. I love you. And I know the pitfall. Well, in parenting, I know that well. But let me urge you: make up your mind that the most important thing in your life is going to be raising your children for the Lord. When should we start? When should we make up our mind? We ought to make up our mind soon to bring them home from the hospital. By the time they're 11 or 12, it's almost too late. You know it. Time they're 11, if you wait then, it's almost gone. You're almost a loser by the time they're 11 or 12. Make up your mind when you bring them home to the hospital that you're going to raise that precious child for the Lord. Then the most important thing is live right. Try with the help of God. It takes the Lord's help now to live the Christian life. It takes the Lord's help to be a parent. But let's, with the Lord's help, make up your mind you're going to live right in front of your children. And under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, set some standards. There's nobody going to raise your children for the Lord unless you set some standards. And have standards and discipline and enforce them in love. And have them in church every time the door opens. Boost the preacher in front of them. And then spend time in prayer every day for your children. Parents, you ought to pray every day, sometimes, maybe many times during the day for your children. And teach them to love that old book. Oh, instill a love in their heart for that old book. And then hang on. Hang on to God for your children. If your children err from the way, hang on to God for them. That's your only hope. And by faith, hang on to God that your children will live for the Lord and will serve the Lord. And one day when they breathe their, parents, your children out in the future, if the Lord tarries, will breathe their last breath someday. And they'll close their eyes in death and just hold on to God that when they breathe that last breath, close their eyes in death, they'll wake up in the presence of the Lord. Moms and dads, settle it by God's grace that you're not going to raise a child for hell. And you need to make up your mind. I will not raise my child for hell. Remember, how you live in front of them will be the determining factor. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Parents, I love you. I love you. And I preach a message like that to help you. To help you. I mean, I want to be your helper in raising your children for the Lord. And I love you, children. I want them to serve the Lord. And even if they stray and they don't serve God, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to love your children as your pastor. I love you, parents, and love your children. And oh, how my heart, I want to see you raise that son or daughter for Jesus. I want to see them living for Christ. And parent, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, please, young people, no one looking around. This is so important. This is so important. Parents, I'm not asking for every parent to come to this altar. I'm not asking for that. I don't want that. Please don't come unless the Holy Spirit has put a burden on your heart. That, I mean, you really feel burdened to come down here and get on your knees and claim your children for Jesus and for holy living and for a life of service and for heaven. If the Lord, I mean, is burdening you and you're willing to do your best, now you're going to need the Lord's help. You will fail miserably in your own strength. The Lord's going to have to help you. But you'll come get on your knees. I mean, if the Holy Spirit's leading you now, I'm not asking for everybody to come. But you'll come get on your knees and say to the Lord, Lord, with your help, I want to raise my children for Jesus. Just start playing softly, all to Jesus I surrender. Just start playing softly that. And then parents, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just slip out. Come down here, commit your children to the Lord, and slip back to the seat. Oh, make this a precious moment now. Make it a precious moment. Maybe some of you parents maybe need to come and rededicate your life to the Lord. And first of all, do some business with God yourself. Find a place anywhere there. Just kneel down and pray. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit, parents. We need to be filled with the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit might give us wisdom to how to deal with our children, how to bring them up for the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, I need your help. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me wisdom to be the parent I ought to be. Then try to live right in front of them. Let them know that Daddy and Mommy loves the Lord. Wants him to love Jesus too. Let them know that. Just stay there and pray as long as you want to. This is so important. Our children's lives are at stake.